Well, we're going to be talking about promises this year and this month. And I felt to the Lord, the promise that the Lord gave me to speak on tonight is from Exodus 33. I do want to give a testimony. We, as y'all know, we were in Chicago and we had a really great trip. The car ride was 22 hours there and 22 hours back. So that was a long time to be in the van. And we came back literally exhausted the first day. I'm not exaggerating. The first day, Sela slept until 1:38 in the afternoon. Yeah, like we got back Tuesday afternoon and we, you know, put her to bed that night at like 8:30, 9 o'clock. And on Wednesday, she slept until 1:38. On Thursday, she slept until, yes, on Thursday, she slept until after 11. Like, it was like her body was just, she was like, y'all, I'm just too tired. Y'all just wore me out this week. Like, we were all just exhausted. But it was neat. We went, like, just kind of having decided, okay, this is, we're just gonna do this. It's an exciting thing to go and spend time with his family. But God just blessed us. I mean, just God just took care of things and he just blessed us financially. And we were able to do and take the kids and do things. And so anyway, God is good. I just am very thankful. So the promise for tonight is from Exodus 33. If you want to just put up Exodus 33:14, you can stand and we're going to read this promise and then we're going to go back. You can be seated and we'll go back and read Exodus 33. Exodus 33:14. So this is God speaking to Moses and he said, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Now you can be seated. So I remember where I was when God gave me this promise. It was years ago before Rick and I became pastors. We were actually youth pastors and we were at a G5 conference, which was like a campus ministry conference for being campus missionaries. And Rick and I were there as youth pastors. And at that time, God was stirring us and kind of leading us and saying he wanted us to pastor. But, you know, as I've told y'all before, we just wanted to be youth pastors forever. And so we were not feeling like God wanted us to go into pastoring. Well, we were kind of struggling with the flesh, honestly. And God was leading us that. And I remember, and the church had gone through some hard things. And I remember saying to God while sitting at that conference, "I don't want to go if you don't go with me." And this is what God spoke to me. "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." And I was like, okay, you know, that is the amazing thing that happens when you get a promise from God, is when God speaks something to you, it has the possibility to change your whole perspective. And it's like, okay, then. And so I want to show you the context and everything, because we're going to kind of go back and look at through some of these other verses and some things that we can learn about Moses's perspective here. So Exodus 33, verse 1. Now, what had just happened before this, Exodus 32, was the golden calf. So Moses had gone up in the mountain. God had spoken to him, given him the 10 commandments. And then he had come down and the people had created a golden calf out of the earrings. Of course, Aaron said that he just put the earrings in and out came this golden calf, which we know is not what happened. But that was his excuse. And so anyway, this stuff had happened and God was angry with the people and he had judged the people. And so Exodus 33:1, the Lord said to Moses, "Depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'To your descendants I will give it.' And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey." We're going to come back to those verses in a few minutes. "For I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way. For you are a stiff-necked people." Stiff-necked, like they were like, We don't have to listen. The Bible talked about people hardening their necks, like being stiff necks and just refusing to receive correction and be changed. And so God was angry at the people. And he said, "I'm not going with you, so I don't kill you on the way." Okay. Verse 4. "And when the people heard this bad news, they mourned and no one put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, 'Say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now, therefore, take off your ornaments that I may know what to do to you. So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. So they didn't have the Tabernacle of Meeting yet. They didn't have a temple yet. God hadn't told them how to build the tabernacle. So Moses just pitched a tent out far away from the camp and then called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. He's like, this is where I'm going to meet with God. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. If you ever wonder, why do we stand during worship, or why do we stand sometimes for the reading of the word? There is something that about standing that gives respect and honor. Like for those in the military, like Rick was a Marine, you stand at attention, or, you know, when somebody important comes into the room, often people will stand. And so they would stand and watch until Moses went into the tabernacle, into the tent. And verse 9, and it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Now the pillar of cloud at this point, that was the presence of God. In fact, if you read in the book of Exodus, there was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So that was the representation of the presence of God. The presence of God was within that. Verse 10, all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. That is awesome. That's just awesome right there. And he, talking about Moses, will return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. You see here, even here, the heart of Joshua, who would become the next leader, is even when Moses left to go, Joshua would stay just in the presence of God at the tabernacle, seeking the presence of God. And God, I believe, even then was preparing him. That's the best way to prepare, is in the presence of God. And so then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you also have found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. And he said to me, God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So for Moses, God's presence was what made all the difference. As we grow in relationship with the Lord, the presence is the promise that makes all the difference to us. In Chicago, I want to give you just an illustration. So in Chicago, I did not drive at all. Like while we were in Chicago, now we rented a 15-passenger van because, you know, there were 10 of us going and all our stuff. And although many of you that have traveled with children, little children, like they have lots of stuff, high chairs and pack and plays and all of that stuff. And so we rented this van, but I didn't drive at all because, number one, I didn't know where I was going. Those of you that know me as of up until this point, if God wants to change it, great. I have not had a wonderful sense of direction. Don't ask me how to get places. I can follow a GPS. I can follow directions well, But do not expect me to remember how to get somewhere, no matter how many times I've been there or how long I have lived somewhere. I mean, let's just, you know, it doesn't matter. My husband, meanwhile, can go somewhere once at night and remember 10 years later how to get back there. I don't understand. Janine got all of that. And I didn't get any of it, but you know, whatever, that's okay. I'll take that up with, no, I won't complain. Anyway, so I didn't drive. A, I didn't know where I was going. B, I do not parallel park well. I live in South Georgia and we have driveways and we have parking lots. In Chicago, in the big city, they do not have driveways. I cannot imagine, honestly, even for the week that we stayed there and like the first house where we stayed, Rick had to get a parking place on the street. And sometimes the parking place would be gone, you know, so you might or might not be able to park in front of your house. That's just foreign to me. But then in the city, trying to park a 15 passenger van in a tiny little spot with people in front of me or behind me. No, that would be way too stressful. Okay. I have a point. I'm telling you this, because Rick could have said, babe, it's okay. You can go this place. I'll set the GPS up for you. And I can follow a GPS, like, or he could have said, listen, I'll even get a car. Like, you can follow somebody. I did not want to drive somewhere by myself. I would rather get in the car with him and let him drive me because I trust him. And because I know that he has a good sense of direction. I know that he knows where he's going and how to get there. And I know that he can park a 15 passenger van in a tiny little spot with a bunch of people behind him. I know that about him. And so I trust him. And so his presence being with me places mattered to me. I didn't want to go somewhere unknown. And, you know, and I'm a 2022 woman. Like, I know how to drive, you know, I can drive myself places, you know, but in an unfamiliar place when I don't know how to get there and I don't know how to park, I would rather someone that I trust and know take me there. And listen, this is where Moses was. God had said, I will send my angel before you to drive out the people. And he had said, go. In fact, this is in verses 2. He said, I will send my angel before you. And I will even drive out the people. I'll drive out all the enemies so that, you know, I'll go before you and handle the problems and the battles for in that way. I'll drive out all of these foreigners. He had them go up into a land that was rich with food. He said in verse 3, go up into a land filled with milk and honey. Like, there's going to be great food there. Go up. But Moses was like, I don't want to go if you're not going with me. Because Moses' security was rooted in relationship. It was rooted in the presence of the one that he trusted. And he didn't want to go without him. Even if God went before him, that wasn't enough. Just like if Rick sent somebody before me, that wasn't enough for me. I wanted him to be with me and him to take me. And this is where Moses was in relationship with God. And this is how we need to live our lives. Is God, I'm not asking you to go before me and fix things ahead of me so that I can just do it on my own. God, I don't want to go if you don't go with me. But that type of dependence comes through relationship. The more we get to know God and the more that we love him, the less that we want to do without him. The more used to doing life with him and the more that we value his presence and his wisdom and his insight, the less that we want to do apart from him. And that's what's supposed to happen. The closer that we get to him, that we go, God, I don't want to do anything without you. And this is how Moses was. Now, Moses, as I said, wanted his presence because we saw in verses 9 and 10 that the Lord talked with Moses. We saw in verse 10, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And so God, Moses had gotten used to talking to God and being in his presence. When you get used to that, you don't want to go without it. The problem with a lot of Christians is they've never gotten used to that. They just like, thank you. I want my Christianity card so that I can do life better. Like I can be a better person. I can try to do things better. You know, maybe I won't mess up so much. But if it's not about the connection and relationship with the one who saved us, this is not a do it yourself. We can't do it apart from him. That's why, like Rick preached this morning, we can do nothing unless we learn to abide in him. Now, we can do a lot of things, but we can't do things that'll matter for eternity. Because Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, Moses said in verse 12 and 13, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way. It says in the Psalms that the people knew God's acts, but Moses knew his ways. When you know God's ways, it changes things. Show me your way, he said. Will you put up the second PowerPoint? I skipped over the first one. Show me your way. The word way means course of life or mode of action. I've said this lots of times before because this is the same word way that's in Proverbs 3:6. And all your ways acknowledge him. That word acknowledge, it just means know. So in all your ways, know him. In every course of life, in every mode of action. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We learn his way by walking in his presence. Jesus told the disciples who had walked with him, he said, the way you know. And what's interesting is Thomas, one of the disciples, he said, how do we know the way? In fact, in verse 3 of John 14, Jesus said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. They didn't know everything. Thomas knew the way, but he didn't even know that he knew the way. That is true of us often in Christianity. We know things because of relationship with the Lord, but we don't even know that we know them. And I don't know about you, but it's sometimes exciting to me. Like when you say something and you're like, that just taught me right there. I just learned when I said that. I did not know that before I said it. Sometimes God has taught us, teaching us things on the inside too. And as we speak things out, we get this revelation of this thing that maybe we knew on the inside because we know the one who knows things, but we didn't even know that we knew it. Just like Thomas. The disciples didn't know everything. They still had a lot to learn. But our goal, just like theirs, just needs to be to walk with him. See, the reason that Thomas knew the way and why Jesus said the way that you know, even though Thomas didn't know that he knew the way, is because Thomas was walking with Jesus every day. He had laid aside everything else to walk with Jesus. And so because he was walking with Jesus, he knew the way. You can know the way and not even know that you know the way. Because if you're just walking with him, he is directing you, and sometimes he doesn't tell you the steps in which to get there. He says, just follow me. And, you know, we always want God to give us the steps. But then the danger would be that we would leave him and his presence in order to do things on our own. Thank you. Now I have my checklist. I can do check one, check two, check three, check four, check five, you know. And instead, we need his presence. Walking with him every day is what allows us to know the way. But I'm telling you from experience, it will continually require you to prioritize. It doesn't matter where we are. At every stage in life, things can change, and we cannot prioritize God to the way, to the level that we need to prioritize him. Rick and I, especially with having the last three little kids, we have learned we have to prioritize time together because it doesn't just happen. We have to prioritize it, and we have to prioritize our time with the Lord, because when you get just alone with him, just to be with him, it changes us, but it will not just happen. We have to choose time with him, sometimes over sleep, over entertainment, over more cleaning, or whatever else it is that, you know, is taking your time. If your life is so full and you feel like you don't have time to pursue God to the degree that you know that you should, ask him to show you what to cut out, because he can show you. The Holy Spirit is a very good life coach. Like, he can help you know this, you can spend less time doing this. And I've had to apologize lots of times. God, I overslept. You woke me up and I didn't get up. Please forgive me. Or God, maybe I spent too much time cleaning up the same messes because I don't know why I do it, but because, you know, you end up just spending time, sometimes spinning your wheels, doing things that are maybe not as important as spending time with the Lord. We have to prioritize it. The disciples prioritized walking with Jesus above everything else, and we can do the same. But we just have to continually say, God, you are worth it. You are worth the priority to pull away from social media, to pull away from my friends, to pull away from television, to pull away from work, to pull away from the table, to pull away from cleaning or organizing or whatever it is that we find ourselves doing that is less important. God will help us. And he can show you moments that you have in your day to offer to him. Because as we seek to acknowledge him or know him in all of our ways, he will direct our paths. If you put up that next slide, the word mode means a way or manner in which something occurs or is experienced, expressed, or done. So that covers pretty much everything. And everything in whatever course of life and every mode of action. So in every way or manner in which something occurs or is experienced, expressed, or done, we are to seek to know him. If we as a church, as believers, would just seek to know him all day, every day, to live by his word, to invite him into our decisions, to do his will, man, like, his presence changes. It changes us. And faith comes as we learn to walk in his presence. That's something that I have learned, is that sometimes when you're learning to prioritize the presence of God, faith will come as an outflow of that. Because as I get to know somebody more, I become more secure in their presence. Like I said about Rick, I know him so well. I know the sense of direction that he has, and I know how well he can parallel park, and I know all of those things. And so faith is not a struggle. I had a situation a few weeks back that the news that I heard seemed very bad. And if I had allowed myself, when I was on the phone on the conversation, I said, I can't even respond right now. I'm not going to say anything. I need to just pray. And as I went to pray, instead of respond, it was like I felt God reminding me, Shannon, focus about what you know about me. Because so often we project our knowledge of God based on what we know about the circumstances. Like, instead of saying, God, you are good, we say these circumstances are bad, so it must mean that you are unjust. And even if we don't think those words, we allow our attitude to reflect that that's what we think about God. And I felt like what he was saying is, Shannon, if something happened because of what I know about Rick, if something happened and somebody told me something, I would not prayerfully, naturally assume the worst about him because I know him. We need to know God. And I felt like in that moment, God was saying, Shannon, don't look at the circumstances and allow the circumstances to define me. Instead, look at me and allow me to show you. Keep your focus on me. And God is good. His word says that his love is everlasting, that he is good. And so as we learn to grow in our relationship with him, what begins to happen is, rather than him being defined by our circumstances, is we begin to default to define our circumstances by what we know about him. And that allows faith to grow in our heart. Prayer is inviting God into situations. I would challenge you, first thing in the morning, invite God into your day. God, I invite you into this day. As I go to school, as I go to work, as I do whatever it is that I'm doing, no matter what it is that you're doing, God, I invite you today. Throughout the day, God, would you just help me to be aware of your presence? And rather than, okay, I need to be a witness and I need to go into the store and I'm going to try to witness to people. Instead, if you say, Jesus, you are here with me. We're going to walk together. And God, I am going to do and say what you're calling me to. And I'm going to see what you tell me to see and respond to people like you would tell me to respond. And as you just stay aware of his presence, and God, would you just help me to see what you see and say what you would have me to say? And as you just invite him into your day, like I said, faith, this preacher said, faith doesn't come through striving. It comes through rest. And when I rest in who he is, rather than making it about me straining to try to produce fruit and straining to try to do things for the kingdom and straining to try to be the Christian that I should be, instead, when I make it about Jesus, I invite you into my day. Yeah, okay, I blew it. And this is where the battle happens. Because when you blow it, all of a sudden that peace that you had just goes out the window in the flesh. And you have to fight to refocus and go, God, I am not worthy because of what I did anyway. Jesus, you died on the cross so that I could have a relationship with you. And I come to your presence, not because I'm worthy, because maybe I overslept. I was supposed to get up and pray today and I hit the snooze 12 times and now I'm late and, you know, I'm hitting the ground running. But God, you are with me today in this day. And God, I need your mercy. Because I would rather do this day with you, even feeling like I do now, than try to do it by myself without you. His presence is the promise. And in his presence is where the rest comes as we walk with him. So the more that you get to know someone, the less striving is required to believe them. Because you know them. And the same happens with us. Don't stress that you don't have all the answers. The disciples didn't have all the answers. We will never, this side of heaven, have all the answers. And if we wait until we have all the answers to be a good Christian, we'll never get there. Because, you know, the disciples were all the time asking Jesus questions. Questions to us that were like, really? Like, you want to ask Jesus? Like, do you not see? You know, I mean, they asked Jesus questions all the time. So don't stress that you don't have all the answers. I just want to challenge you because this is something that I'm sure I've said before, but it's something that bears repeating because it's something we need to remember. Enjoy your time of devotions. If you spend time with God and you dread it, you are doing something wrong. Okay? If you came to hang out with me and you said, oh, and you got 30 minutes, I'm here. I would not be excited that you're here to hang out with me if you don't look like you want to be there. But we do that to God. Okay, God, I would much rather be watching TV, but I'm going to read a chapter so that I can feel like a good Christian. Check, check. Listen, God created relationships. He feels like we do. So when you come into the presence of God, first of all, take the pressure off. If you're not enjoying your time with God, then change it up. Put on a song that you like and say, God, I'm here just to be with you. Times of devotions are supposed to be times of refueling and restoring and joy. And so, you know, when I first learned that I could come into the presence of God and just sit with him, it blew me away. Like, I don't have to bring a list and pray for 100 people. Like, I mean, yes, it's great to pray for people and we should. But those sometimes when God begins to stir you and you have just an intercession because it comes from the Holy Spirit, prayer is completely different. It's not like, oh God, please bless this one and bless that one and bless this one. And you're exhausted after you get done praying. That's not how prayer should be. Come in, say, God, what do you want to say to me? God, these are the struggles that I have. I see this happening with my kids or with my husband and wife or with my family or with my friends. God, I'm struggling in this subject in school and I'm not sure what I'm going to do about this situation at work. And God, I just invite you. Put on a praise and worship song. Me, often I have a song with God. Like I have a song that God is speaking to me and it just, like I had the happen the other day and I'll share this on as I get ready to close. I was praying. I had just sat down in the presence of God and I didn't have that long. I think I had about 10 or 15 minutes, but I was like, man, I really just need to be alone with God. And so I had sat down on my floor and I put my headphones in. And I just sat down with my computer to type on my journal. And I was typing away, just asking God, please, God, just show me what to do in this situation because I don't want to miss you and I'm not sure. And I listened to what I was hearing in my headphones. And I have a Spotify playlist. But this song that was playing, I've never heard before. So I think what happened is I started at the end of my Spotify and it just kept going and it switched to a different song. And as I'm praying about this situation and what to do, the words that are playing in this song that I've never heard was, I won't move until you speak. I won't move until you speak. And it was exactly, the rest of the song was exactly what I needed to hear. That is the God that we serve. That he could have put a song on Spotify to be playing at exactly the moment I was typing a prayer out. Prayer is exciting. And being with him is a joy. So don't miss that. Just go into your time with God and say, God, what do you want to say to me? You know, and put on a song. Like I said, put on a song that you like. And say, God, I like this song. I just want us to share it. Like, I just want to think about you while I'm listening to this song. And God, I just want to lay these struggles that I'm having out. God, you see when you have burdens, lay them all out. God, I'm burdened about this about myself. And I'm burdened about this other person. And God, but I know that you care. I thank you that you love me and you love these people more than I do. And you know my heart better than anybody else. And so just lay it out before him. The last thing that I want to encourage you to do, pay attention to the pictures that come in your mind. Yesterday, last night, actually, I had, you know, it was just a busy day and I had worked on my sermon some. And anyway, I kept having this picture of me just because sometimes I just sit on the floor by my bed. And like I said, I just listen to a song or I type on my computer, my journal. And I just kept having this picture of me sitting on the floor. And I had prayed and I had laid in the bed and prayed. I actually stayed awake, you know, and laid in the bed and prayed. But I just had this picture. So finally, I was like, okay. So I just sat down on the floor and I put on a song and just immediately the presence of God. I just felt the presence of God, you know, and so pay attention to those pictures, you know, whether it's a prompting to go and, you know, the other day I was in Dollar General and I felt like the Lord wanted me to say to this lady just that God loved her. And I had seen her a couple of times in my anxiety, like honestly in the flesh, I'm just, you know, and I'm pushing that back down. I'm not living like that. God, you will help me. And so anyway, I walked the store a couple of times. Actually, I left the store. Silas was sitting in the van. I'm like, okay. I went back into the store and as I walked, kind of looking for her in the store, as I came behind her, she had on like a Christian, it was like a Christian t-shirt. And I just said to her, I really like your t-shirt. And she said, oh, thank you. She said, I've had it for a long time. And I said, well, I just want you to know that God loves you. And she went, thank you. Like, you know, and sometimes people are like, great, thanks. You know, I mean, they're not excited, but it's okay. Cause you leave those things with God, you know? But just pay attention to those pictures that you have. God wants to walk with us every day, all day. He doesn't ask us to spend time with him and then where he's not going to walk with us. He will walk with us, but you do have to learn. You have to open your heart up. You have to spend some time and let him speak. Spend some time in the word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Still, when I read my Bible, sometimes I have to stop myself from doing my duty of reading the word. And I have to say, Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. Would you just teach me about yourself? It's because it can so easily become a default where we just go, no, I'm supposed to read the Bible. Anything that we know we should do can easily become something that we do because we have to do it. But change it. Change your mentality. Just, God, I am here. Your word says that faith comes by hearing. And so, God, I just want to hear what you want to say to me. I'm just depositing truth because the word, like Rick shared this morning, it corrects us, it instructs us, it teaches us, it reproves us. And so when you read the word, and if you will come in faith, allowing God to speak to you, he will. You might not realize that you're going to need that tomorrow, what you just read today. But trust him that as you put that truth in, that he is working and he is changing and he is renewing and he is restoring. And so he wants to walk with us. He wants to know us and us to know him. Jesus said in John 10:14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. And so we need to seek to know him, but we need to open our lives up to allow him to know us. That's what I want to end with this. In Exodus 33, Moses said, yet you have said, I know you by name. Show me now your way so that I may know you. So Moses continually was seeking to know God. And there is so much to be had through relationship with him. So I just want to close this in prayer and challenge you this week. Spend some time with God, but get alone and God, I'm here. I just want to be with you. Father, thank you for the invitation of your presence. God, I pray that this truth, I know that any truth that you teach us, the enemy will fight to steal it. And so, God, I just pray even now that you will just cement and remind us, God, that you want to be with us, that you want to walk with us, that you want to reveal truth to us. And so, God, I pray that we would fight to enjoy our time with you and to be changed in your presence, to allow your word to teach and instruct us so that we would have a close relationship just as Moses did. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.